You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 28th of November 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. And we are actually live streaming at RadioAlbion.com now. We do have the radio up and running. I'm not quite sure how to get programs on at specific times though, but we should have at least 6 hours of new content on there every day that will just rotate. So you could just tune into that if you're driving or if you're out and you'll have new content on there. You'll have music on there. Plus you'll have all the talk radio content that we produce as well. That was very kindly set up for us by W.M. Fink of christaguinea.org, to whom I am indebted for lots of technical help. And if you are a Christian, I do recommend you check out his website, christaguinea.org. Talking of Christianity, the article that I have today is to do with Christmas to start off with. We might have time to do a second article. I've got two here. And again, happy Thanksgiving to all our American listeners. That's where Grandpa Dan is today. He will be with us back next week. And I picked up on this article because It shows you the absurdity of what's actually going on with this diversity agenda and also the cost to everybody of being forced to live like this in a multicultural way, which is completely unnatural. And this is to do with the Christmas markets in Germany. A German city has been forced to install security measures at a Christmas market following a series of attacks. Movable metal bollards have been put in place in Augsburg as part of efforts to ramp up security in Christmas market areas as the festive season gets underway. And I'm taking this article from GB News, and it sort of reads as if this is a new thing. A city's been forced to install security measures. As far as I'm aware, pretty much all the cities in Germany have been forced to install these sort of security measures. These bollards that are put up, these metal or concrete bollards, they're called diversity bollards. That's what they're for. They're for protecting against the terrorist attacks that diversity has brought us. The enforced diversity that our governments have forced upon us is responsible for these attacks. It's responsible for facilitating these attacks, I should say. If we were still homogenous, if we were still 99.9% the same ethnic group or closely related ethnic groups, you just wouldn't be getting these attacks. They don't get these attacks in Hungary, where there's still 99% the same ethnic group, Hungarian, and they don't get these attacks. And this is just another symptom of the crumbling society that we have. Security staff were spotted hauling heavy bollards to and from the road in the city when trams and cars needed to travel through. And these are temporary ones, but how long will it be before they need to be there all the time? Because you might start getting attacks at other times of year when you've got people that are gathered together. I mean, that's the problem with this sort of terrorism that we're having to put up with now. You don't know if it's going to be at a Christmas market. You don't know if it's going to be at a pop concert. Anywhere where there's large numbers of people gathered could be a potential target for an Islamic terrorist, an Islamist terrorist. A spokesman for the city of Augsburg said the barriers were not bought specifically for the Christmas market. Local media reports. Frank Pinch, head of citizen affairs and public order added the intention of the barriers was to protect visitors, and they are activated after allocated delivery hours. The ones I've seen before have been sort of pop-up ones. But if they're just temporary and they're not actually concreted into the ground, how safe are they going to be if somebody drives at them in a heavy goods vehicle, for instance? There was one of these markets was attacked. I think it might have been in Sweden by a heavy goods vehicle. In fact, there have been so many vehicle attacks on Christmas markets that I've lost count. I had a little look before doing this episode, and I just typed in number of vehicle attacks, terrorism attacks on German Christmas markets. There was about four or five just on that one page. And that was only in the last 5 years. And I know that they've been going on for longer than that. And if you were also to include other countries like Sweden, Austria, you know, there's a lot of these attacks that are going on. None of them would be able to take place if it wasn't for our government's immigration policy. The market in Augsburg is one of the oldest in Germany, dating back to the 15th century. Now, you think this is a very old tradition, German tradition, going to the Christmas market. You go there with your children, you see all the lights, and you feel the coldness in the air, and you see Father Christmas there and all the Christmassy things. And now at the back of your mind is going to be this worry that somebody could attack this. Now, this is somewhere that families go, and yet it has now become a target for people from a culture completely dissimilar to our own, who have grievances against our own countries for multiple reasons. I mean, it's not just that, oh, it's Islam against Christian. It's about all these attacks that we have facilitated in the Muslim countries, like what was going on in Syria, what was going on in Iraq, what was going on in Afghanistan. Because of the way our Western countries have behaved in the Middle East, it sort of predisposes the people from those countries to be anti-British or anti-European. And then our politicians invite them all in as refugees. It's only this week that there has been an attack in America where somebody, an Afghan that was formerly working with NATO, has gone and shot people, carried out an atrocity. And if that Afghan had been an American in the first place, the atrocity would never have taken place. So many of these crimes nowadays, from grooming gangs, solvent crime where they throw solvents in people's faces, terrorism, honour killings, all of these things are to do with multicultural. The downside to multiculturalism. I would argue that there isn't really any upside to multiculturalism, but when asked about it, people might say, oh, well, we have had an increase in food, or I do like their food. But of course, nobody's saying that we're not actually able to cook for ourselves. The reason why we have this mass immigration, and they've given us lots of them over the years, saying, well, we need them to pay for our pensions, we need them to pay the taxes. We feel sorry for them. Their countries are not doing very well. So the economic migrants, the fact of the matter is they need migration because of the economic system that we have. I was on Twitter yesterday and Owen Jones pointed this out. He was saying, and Owen Jones is a well-known left-wing commentator, extreme left-wing commentator. And he was sort of trying to have a go at the people on the right saying, well, what are you going to do if you stop immigration? The way our economy is set up, it will destroy the economy. And that's very true. It's baked into our way of doing things because of the usury that we have in the banking system that I was talking about the other day. That's why we have this massive immigration. And in exchange for bringing more people over here so that they can keep inflating the money supply, can keep that usury money system going for that little bit longer. And the price that we pay for that is grooming gangs and terrorism and all the other problems that are associated with multiculturalism and not being able to go to a Christmas market without the fear of being run over. The increased security measures follow a spate of car ramming attacks in Germany, most recently being in the western city of Mannheim in March, when a vehicle was driven into a crowd, leaving two dead. So they admit that there's been a spate of them. Is it a spate of them, or is it just these continuing attacks? They happen every year, don't they? A similar attack occurred in Munich in February and at a Christmas market in the eastern city of Magdeburg last December. Authorities said at the time of the Magdeburg attack, the suspect used emergency exit points to drive onto the grounds of the market, where he picked up speed and ploughed into the crowds, hitting more than 200 people in a three-minute attack and leaving six dead. 200 people they take out just in one hit. I mean, it's easily as dangerous as setting a bomb off. Large concrete barriers, checkpoints at entrances, video surveillance and trained security staff are among the security additions made at Berlin's Gendarmenmarkt. Well, I don't know if the German police actually have guns, but if you were to have security staff with guns and they were to see somebody driving like that, I guess they could shoot the driver, maybe, but then the drivers could crash the car into something else and still be causing damage, couldn't they? David Russ, head of production at the event, said the requirements have become increasingly stringent. He added that the added measures give guests a feeling where they can say, OK, I can just let go of everything here. I feel safe. And that's absolutely crazy. How absurd. How can he say that by having measures put up to protect the German people from Islamic terrorism, that makes them feel safe? Surely it makes them feel not safe. I'm living in a country where a terrorism attack could happen at any moment, where an Islamic terrorist could drive a vehicle into me, or somebody could get beheaded, or a bomb could get let off. The fact that the bollards have to be there at all says that the country is not safe. And yet the head of production here thinks that it makes people think that they are safe. Okay, if they forget the fact that if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, they wouldn't have this danger at all. But if they are going to have to put up with that danger, then this is the sort of thing that you're going to have to have. You're possibly going to have knife detection boxes that people walk through, knife detection arches at the schools for people to walk through in the future. They're going to have to put in all sorts of security measures to cope with the massive increase in crime that we have with the multicultural system. Everywhere that's multicultural has a massive problem with crime. I think perhaps the only place that possibly doesn't is Singapore, but they have a very right-wing system there, and the multiculturalism there is mainly Asian multiculturalism. So it's Chinese, Japanese, Malays. It's not Caribbean. It's not Pakistani, that sort of thing. I think the Indian population there is fairly low, and I think you might get some Indonesian Muslims, but they have very, very low crime rate there. And those are people groups that aren't that different to one another. In the West, you end up with people groups that are extremely different to one another, that are all put together in one place. And then you try to have a one-size-fits-all policy. And as I'm sure you all know, one size does not fit all, because everybody is a different size. So to say here that people feel safe by seeing these bollards, I think it's the opposite. I think they see those bollards and feel very sad at how dangerous their country has become, thanks to their government's immigration policy. Although towns and cities usually receive a subsidy from their respective budgets to support the cost of organising a Christmas market, smaller municipalities and private organisers often carry the costs. So they're now being forced to pay for this as well. It's not that the state is paying for this. They're directly forcing the smaller places that hold these Christmas markets to pay to put in all this extra security to cope with the problems caused by the government's immigration policy. Local authorities have started calling for the 16 federal states to take on the financial burden, which they say constitutes counter-terrorism and falls outside their remit. Well, of course, it's to prevent terrorism from being able to take place, but I'm sure the government will try and say, oh, well, this is just natural now, we just have to put up with this, so it's not actually counter-terrorism, it's just general safety to prevent people from driving cars into people at Christmas markets. But how many times has that happened when it hasn't been an Islamic extremist? I don't think it's ever happened in Germany. It happened over here in Liverpool last year. A white man drove a vehicle into a crowd and he was high on drugs from what I can make out. He was extremely high and hallucinating. And that was the reason for it. I don't think it was, he deliberately set out to run lots of people over, which is the case when you get Islamic extremists. We need nationwide reliable rules. Otherwise, we will soon find ourselves without anyone willing to take on the ever-increasing responsibility for events and shoulder the financial burden, said Gerald Lepper, head of the Federal Association of City and Town Marketing. Chancellor Friedrich Merz said last week the federal government could not provide support as it was the responsibility of state police forces, but said he was following the debate. So I should imagine they're just going to say, well, you're just going to have to pay for it. And if you can't pay for it, well, you'll just have to stop having the Christmas markets, won't you? And we'll end up with no more Christmas markets in Germany as another side effect of multiculturalism. It weighs heavily on me that we can no longer hold Christmas markets, even in smaller towns, without a comprehensive security concept, he said, according to local media. So it is weighing on him, the fact that they have to have this security now, and we would not need the security if it wasn't for the immigration policy. So he is at least thinking about this and saying it does depress him that he can't hold a Christmas market without having to bring in counter-terrorism measures. The German Association of Towns and Municipalities, which represents the interests of 10,000 local government bodies, said if there were no additional subsidies, organisers may have little choice but to pass on the costs to visitors. Berlin's Gendarmen Market has started charging a €2 entrance fee. So effectively, everyone that goes to that market is being taxed to pay for the threat of Islamic terrorism, aren't they? The fee is being passed to everybody that goes there. It's literally everyone there is being forced to pay a diversity tax for having this diversity in their country, aren't they? When really it's the government that should be paying that. It's the government that is responsible for all these things. I mean, to a certain extent, we're responsible because we voted the government in and they are our representatives. But we're not actually able to make any of these changes because we're at the bottom of society. The people that make these changes are our representatives that are at the top of society. So we are slightly to blame, but we're not entirely to blame. The ones that are to blame are the people at the top. I guess they would say, well, look, there's no way out of it. We have to have this immigration. And into that, I would say, well, perhaps you should look at the economic system and admit that perhaps allowing usury was a mistake if it's resulted in a massive mountain of debt and countries having to be multicultural because you need to get more people in there just to increase the money that there is in circulation just so that the interest can be paid. And I know I talked about this yesterday, but I'm not sure I explained it well enough. When the banks loan out money, what they're actually doing is they're creating that money. When you request a loan from the bank, you are saying, I want to get the money from you and I will owe you, say, £10. And then the bank credits that £10 to your account and you then owe them that £10. That £10 can now go into circulation and it can be spent on what have you. And you can make £10 back out of that economy because there is £10 in there. But if the bank says we're going to also want £2 interest, that £12 doesn't exist in circulation. There's only £10 in circulation. So the only way that you can get another £2 to pay the interest is if another person takes out a loan for £10. And then temporarily, there'll be enough funds in circulation for you to pay the interest because there'll be £20 in circulation then. So the first person can pay back his £10 and his £2 interest. But then for the second person, there's only £8 in circulation. And yet he's got to pay back the £10 original loan plus the £2 on top. So this is why they have to have an ever increasing economy. And in order to get this ever increasing economy, they need more people. And people might say, well, yes, but a lot of these people that are coming over here are unproductive. Perhaps they're just on benefits. Even if they're just on benefits, the government has to pay for that benefits bill. and it has to create that amount of money. Say the benefits bill comes to £1 billion. The government has to go to the banks and say, we need to create £1 billion so that we can pay for the benefits bill, and we'll pay that back out of people's taxes. So another £1 billion is then added into circulation because you had so many people in here that needed that in benefits. So you end up with more money in circulation. Even if you've got people that aren't working at all, they're still generating money that has to be created, that the banks have to create from somewhere. This is also why everything is debt. If you look at everything that we've created, we should be incredibly rich. You know, we've created all these amazing things, and yet it all exists as debt. It all exists as collateral to the banks. It's the banks that are at the top of society. And the reason this has been allowed to happen is because we allowed usury into the banking system. We allowed interest into the banking system, and we allowed private people to run the banks rather than having the government issue its own money, which is what the National Socialists did, which is what Gaddafi was going to do. It's what the greenback was in America. You know, it hasn't always been like this. If people look into it, the Federal Reserve came into being, I think, in the early 20th century, and the bill that actually brought it into being was read out on Christmas Eve so that there was nobody there to challenge it. And once that was in place, you had this system in America of just creating money out of nothing effectively and then charging the government the interest on it and effectively then giving the government as much money as they ask for. And it's the same system that we have over here in Britain. It was pioneered in Britain by the Bank of England. That's where it goes back to. And then it was exported all around the world. So wherever you have a central bank, this is the system that they have. And quite a few years back, people used to say, well, the only countries in the world that don't have a central bank are North Korea, Iraq, Syria, Iran. And you can see all of these countries are the ones that are on George Bush's list of terror regimes that we have to topple. And they all have their own banking system. They're not a part of the central bank system that we have throughout the rest of the world. So these are the sort of things that have led to the world being the way that it is today. So people can call for less immigration as much as they want. Unless the whole economic system is changed, the government are always going to need immigration. And say they were to get a politician in who did really cut back on immigration and stopped all of it, well, straight away, the financiers and the banks would see that this meant that there wouldn't be enough money in circulation to pay the interest. And they would say, well, look, you've spooked the markets. You spooked the markets and everything's crashed and we've now got massive inflation. They did this to Liz Truss. She made some small changes, not to immigration, but she just made some small tax changes. And straight away, the financiers were saying, look, this is going to cause problems. And the markets got spooked. That was the catchphrase that they used. That's an actual quote. The markets got spooked. And because they got spooked, everyone's mortgages went up and everyone's pensions lost their value. And Liz Truss became probably the most hated prime minister of recent times because of this. So if you did get somebody into parliament who did put a stop to all migration, the same thing would happen to them. The markets would get spooked. Everyone's mortgages would go up, so they were paying more money on the mortgage, and their pensions would go down, and there would be uproar, and that person would be removed from parliament. This is the problem that we face, because these systems, this problem is so ingrained into our system through the economy, through the banking, through the financial system that we have, that making these changes that we all want there to be a stop to immigration. But look at the problems that will cause if we don't also address the issue with the economy. And that's the real central issue, is the economy. Everybody is working to serve the economy rather than the economy working for the people. So the best we can hope is that they might limit immigration. or they might enforce segregation between the different groups. So you could say, well, you've got like a Muslim area over there and you've got a white area over there. And they police themselves, which is what non-whites would rather. I think they would rather have non-white people policing them, because if a white man is policing them, they always have this fear that he's being racist and he's profiling them. And it's the same with white people. If they've got black police or Muslim police, they're going to feel that they might be being profiled, or that the police officer might have a racist objective in pulling them over. These problems that we accept that non-white people have with wanting to see more representation and feeling that their history, they're not being taught about their own history, all of these issues are the same for every group. It's not like these issues only affect non-whites. They also affect white people. We also want to see our own group represented. We also don't feel right when half the TV adverts are filled with an ethnic group that is different to our own. And the same as people who are black might look at the adverts and say, well, half of them are white. They're not black. They need to be 100% black. Then I'll feel at home. And that's just the way things are. We feel at home when we're among our own people. That's the important thing for us to feel secure and safe, is to be among our own people. And people on the left might ignore their instincts and say, oh no, I feel quite safe with people that don't look like me and don't speak the same language as me. I feel just as safe with them as I do with my own people. Yet, studies prove that this isn't so. You could, by the fact of the oxytocin that people produce when we're among our own people. And that increases the sense of social bonding that you have. It's the same hormone that's produced when the mother is feeding the child, so that the mother bonds with the child. And this oxytocin is produced by us when we're among our own people. I think when we're among other people, it has the opposite effect, and it makes you not want to be with these other people even more. So even our own bodies and our own hormone systems want to be among our own people, because that's the natural way to be. And just to bring it back round to the subject of this episode today, the costs of forcing everybody to live with other people are astronomical, and not just financial cost, but the cost on the way that we live, on the restrictions that we'd have to have on the way that we live. I mean, if we wanted to make everybody feel at home, we would have to stop making cartoons for a start, because Islam doesn't really like graven images. It doesn't like cartoons, particularly not of Muhammad. So our whole tradition of art and cartoons and satire, that would all have to go if we wanted to make Muslims feel as comfortable here as they do in their own countries. And it's the same with Muslims. They would have to give up. They would have to give up the things that they hold dear if we were to enforce our way upon them. And you just can't have it. Multiculturalism doesn't work. It will just pull itself apart. There's a famous verse in the New Testament, and Christ said that a house that is divided against itself will not stand. Which means if you've got one group together, and one part of the group's pulling in one direction and the other part is pulling in the other, then that group is going to fall apart. And the Western countries are going to fall apart. They're going to fall apart into civil strife and ethnic strife. I believe, similar to Mark Collette, that we're likely to end up with the similar situation that there was in Northern Ireland with the Irish and the Northern Irish. With sectarian problems, that, you know, that's the end result of what's going on. The multicultural system is just going to end up with sectarian problems eventually. And one of the symptoms of that we're going in that direction, are all these security measures that have to be put in whenever we have a large gathering of people, which the Germans are starting to realize now, especially now that they're actually individually having to pay for this extra security, just in order to go to the market. Well, I don't think we've got enough time to get into this second article today, so I will say thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.